cousin come to him one day and said, look, said, we've got a chance to make some good money. Said, you can get $3,000. If you've not got a whole lot, $3,000 is a whole lot of money in it. He said, if you'll store this marijuana in your basement and you'll load it in cars and carry it across the line to El Paso, Texas, they will give you $3,000. He stored it in his basement. He said it got to smelling pretty loud. I don't know what marijuana smells like, some of you may, but he said it got in his kids' clothes and his wife's clothes. Said the whole house smelled like marijuana. Everything went fine. He stored it in there. He put it in the cars in the secret compartments. He got to Texas. He went right in. No problem at all. So everything went fine, and he went back home. And it come almost November, right near Christmas. He was sort of tight on money. He wanted to give his kids, and you know we want to give our kids and family things at Christmas time. His cousin come back, said, let's make one last trip. Let's do it one more time. He says, all right, we'll do it one last time. So he stored it there in the basement of his house again. He loaded it in the cars. He said, well, we got through the first time. Ain't no problem. We'll go over and do it again. He gets to the Texas line. Immigration and the drug enforcement people were sitting there waiting on him. He was arrested, took to a Texas prison, sentenced to 5 years in prison. While they're in prison, some crazy people went in there with suits and ties on, with little Bibles. They was blue Bibles, Hispanic Bibles, giving them to him. He said, of all things, and he started reading that Bible. He never saw one. He started reading in Hebrews 1:4. First chapter, verse 1 through 4. He read these verses. He knew that he had to know more about this God. So while he finished the rest of his 5-year sentence there in prison, he continued to read that New Testament there while in jail. When he got out of jail at the end of his 5-year sentence, he started his own business. And he increased there and he grew in that business and all. He became a Christian. He accepted Christ as his personal Savior. He is a Gideon today. Guess what? He stores in the basement of that house. God has got a sense of humor, folks. He's storing the Bibles for his camp that he belongs to there in Mexico, giving out that Bible before he stored that marijuana one time. God changes lives by these. He can change them if we'll allow him to and all. I'd like to tell you just a little bit about who we are. We are born-again Christians. We are a member of a local church in good standing. We have to be in good standing. We have to have a recommendation from our pastor. We cannot become a Gideon. We have several in here. I sort of wonder about a couple of them, but no, I don't. But you have to have a recommendation from your pastor. You cannot belong to the Gideons. We also have, or businessmen and professional men, our organization started in 1899. We're in over 200 countries today. That's a lot of countries to be in. We print the Bible in over 100 different languages. The reason I put these little cards out here this morning, we have it also available on the apps. A lot of you got the cell phone now, that you can download the tablets, other things. It tells you how to download that. That's what this little card's about. Pass it on to someone. You young people, you know what I'm talking about. If you'd like to have the Bible, the difference from this and a lot of the Bibles that you download on there, this has a self-help things like we print in all of our little testaments in the front. It tells you what scripture to look to. It also in the back gives you the plan of salvation. Well, that's on this little card that you can put on your tablets or your iPhones or whatever. I think it's in 160-something languages on there. Some of us older ones probably won't never mess with it. I still like the pages turning in my Bible. But this is for our young people. If you got grandkids, please take one of them. our chaplain come up, or our state chaplain come up with this, and all. So please take these, and but it's on there. It's easy to do. I spoke at a church here at Fairfield Baptist, I believe it was, the other side of the county over there. I told it, a young man about 10 or 12, he was about this age. He come out that day and spoke to me at the back of the church. He held the phone and said, he showed me where he already downloaded. He just picked it up at the front of the service. So they like this, and it's great, and gives them in that different language. And our men that go overseas different places to make distribution, he said a lot of countries cannot buy the Bible. But guess what they've got? They got cell phones. And a lot of them are downloading this in languages we don't print. So it's a way of getting God's word out where we can't get it other ways. We place the Bible in designated traffic lanes of life, hotels and motels. I'd give you an illustration. It's a friend of mine. He was from the Monroe area. And he found out I was in the Gideons. He told me one morning, said, I want to tell you a story. He said, I had a friend, and he was a lawyer in Monroe for a number of years. He had cancer. He had been to all the doctors in camp in Monroe, Charlotte, even Duke, and all. No one could help him. They said, we can't help you. But someone told him there's a clinic in Indianapolis, Indiana, that I think can help you. So he went up there to see if they could help him with his cancer. He is of a Jewish descent. He did not believe, you know, in Christ and all. Anyway, that night he called his friend back in Monroe. He said, I told him and talked with him for about an hour on the phone. He said, when I get off the phone, he said, if you would, look at Psalms 121. So there's a Bible in that nightstand, probably in your motel room. He picked it up and read Psalms 121 that night. I would tell you the guy's name, but he's in, well, he was a judge and all, so I won't tell you his name. But anyway, he said he told him to read that Psalms 121. The next morning, before he went to the clinic, the rabbi, the Jewish rabbi, come over to visit him. Anyway, and he said, I'd like to pray with you before you go. And guess what he quoted that morning in his prayer? Psalms 121. He said, my Christian friend back in Monroe, North Carolina, told me to read this last night. These Bibles are used in places we place them. We also go to hospital and convalescent homes. I'd like to give you an illustration. Very seldom when we place a Bible, we ever get to see someone pick it up and read it. I was feeling sorry for myself. A few of you know I had cancer. Well, it just went 10 years. This past week I went to see my doctor. So I've been cancer-free for 10 years now. But I was going to take radiation. I was feeling, do we ever feel sorry for yourself and like it's time for me to quit? And I think God was trying to tell me. I went into the room back there to take the radiation. And if you've ever had it, nobody can go back there but the nurses, the doctors that's doing it, or anyone else. I saw one Bible back there. It was raggedy looking. I probably wouldn't even picked it up, and I loved the Bible. I loved Jesus Christ. But I probably would not have picked that Bible up. I asked the nurses, I said, do you mind if I bring a new Bible or two tomorrow to put in the waiting room where the patients go back there? They said, we would love for you to. I carried them into the next day and put them in the waiting room back there, put my pretty little scrubs on to take my radiation treatment and all. And when I come out that day, there sat a young lady with that Bible open, reading. Folks, if you don't think that's God speaking to you and telling you, you got something else to do in this life. He done the same thing the next day. He knows I'm hard-headed. And there was a gentleman sitting there, a different guy, with that Bible, one of those Bibles open, reading. God has a way if we'll listen to what he has to say. And they're used. I've saw people in other waiting rooms and hospitals and all, but very seldom. And I think that's what God was trying to tell me that day. You're not the, I thought I was retirement age. But he said there's no retirement. You need to keep going. So, and I have, and that's been almost 10 years ago now that I've done that. And I've never failed to see all that the things they're doing. Of course, a lot of our hospital and convalescent homes now, if you go to the hospital, we cannot actually go into rooms and place them no more. I talked to the chaplain a couple weeks back. We place them in plastic now, but when the patient goes out of the room, they have to completely desanitize that room. If you get there and you want one of our paperback hospital testaments, ask the chaplain, and he will get you one in your room. Or if you have loved ones there, just see the chaplain and ask for one, and they'll bring you a brand new one in plastic to the room there. A lot of convalescent homes are the same way now for the privacy policy plus the sanitation and all the things that are going around. They will not let us go in the rooms anymore. Also, we give testaments to the fifth graders where possible in the college. I've never been able to, last year I was able to go into the elementary school. I remember a lot of you that's my age or older, remember the Gideon's coming and giving you a testament in the fifth grade. Union County won't allow us to do it. I was doing some work for the Gideons in Stanley County. And I got to go to Locust in Stanfield, North Carolina last year. I couldn't hand the kids like we used to, but we placed them on a table. And the kids, the teacher brought them by. Every one of those kids thanked us in both of those schools in the fifth grade for those tests. So we get to do that. We also go to the college. We went to Wingate University. Like Ed was there, Brother Don, and I don't remember, Barry was there, I believe, and I can't remember who else. I believe TC was there. I can't remember for sure. I know he usually goes every year. But anyway, it was about, Mr. Bryce went. And we went down, and we have a good time. We give out almost 900 scriptures. I don't know how many of those kids came out and thanked us for taking our time and coming there and giving them a testament. We give them a little testament now that's got a little bit different cover on it. It's not the black or blue or green or something. We put a little bit of design on it. The kids really love those, the college kids do. So we try to stay up to date with the kids and all. We also go to the prisons each Saturday morning, if at all possible, from 9 to 10 o'clock. The sheriff gives us permission to go. So we go to the jail on Saturday morning and witness to them. We may have 10, 12, 14 to come out to Bible study there in the jail. We give out 10 to 20 Bibles on a given Saturday morning. I got a testimony of prayer, and it came to me this morning. She's not able to give her testimony any more. This Mary Kay Beard. I may leave out a little bit of it, but she came several years back at our state convention, and she gave her testimony. She was on the top 10 most wanted on the FBI list. She was a safecracker. Very few safecrackers in America are women. But she was the number one safecracker in America as far as women was concerned. She was married to a guy, and that's the way she got in there. She said, I was raised with the Bible. That I know the Bible. But she said, I didn't live it. Said, I knowed I was missing something that my mama, my grandma had. She said, I was there in jail. Didn't really have nothing better going on. So a bunch of these crazy women come in. Was auxiliary for the Gideon. So I can't understand why anyone would come to jail. Didn't have to be there. This lady, I wish I could make it like sound like she did. She said, I just couldn't understand them coming there. But they give her a little test. She accepted Christ as her personal Savior. She found what she was missing that her mama had. You know. You might have heard of her. How many have heard of Angel Tree every year at Christmas? this is the lady that started on account of a Bible given to her in prison. She started that when she got out of jail. And she started the first year. She said, I needed transportation to get the Christmas presents out. I'd collected to the people there in Birmingham, Alabama. She said, the only one I could think about was the president of the Gideons in the state of Alabama. She called the state president. He said, well, I got my pickup. Said, we'll go wherever you want to go. So that's where it started. And she's still that. She can tell you how many states and how many of all that's been done. But I went to a convention here a while back, and she was going to come to a pastor's banquet. She could not come for health reasons. But what a joy she has done and meant to a lot of people because of that one little testament. We never know when we hand a testament or a Bible what it's going to do in someone's life or how many more lives it's going to touch, as Mary Kay Beard did. She touched thousands of lives from that. We also we give to the policemen, firemen, and armed forces where we are able to. As Gideons, that's the reason we visit congregations like yours here, to let you know how God is using the seed that we're sowing. By God's grace, we gave out over 90 million copies of God's Word last year. That's over 2 per second. That's over 120 per minute. That's 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And that's the reason we do this, and the promise of Isaiah 55:11 is fulfilled. And God's word does not return void. As men, women, boys, and girls come to Christ through reading of Scripture, placed by Gideon or auxiliary, who are our wives. Our wives give out to the ladies in the medical first aid. If you're a nurse, you probably got one. The little white testament. Our wives go to that. They give to the lawyers. They go to dentist's office, doctor's office, and place the Scripture there. And all. I'd give you another testimony. It's about, it comes from Claiborne, Texas. Rick Webb submitted this, a young lady, by the name of, let me find it here. Anyway, April, she recently came to his Sunday school class. Said she come to his Sunday school class, and she shared the testimony. I think she saw his little Gideon emblem on his coat when she went to his Sunday school class that Sunday morning. And he asked her to write it down so we could start sharing it with others. And she said, I was placed on a prayer list in early 1976 by a group of ladies in a Baptist church. They fervently prayed for me, and she was lost and didn't know God as her personal Savior. Not long after that, she had to go to the hospital. While she was in the hospital, that was back when we could place them in the rooms and all, she began reading that paperback New Testament in that hospital room. She read it for the days that she was in there. She did not get through with it. When she left, she said, I've got to take this testament with me. She took that testament, and she read it over the next several months. She accepted Christ as her personal Savior. She joined the church. One day God spoke to her. Said, you stole that testament. Said, you need to take it back. She said she crawled on a bus, rode for a couple hours to carry that testament back. She said, I didn't want to go in and admit I'd stole that testament. So I ran in and placed it on the table, and I took off and run to get out of the building. She said, going back home, said, I got to thinking, I ain't going to have no Bible to read. I'm not going to have God's Word when I get home. She said she started just crying. The tears started coming out of her eyes, crying on her bus ride back home. She didn't know what she was going to do. Guess what? Well, you Baptist women provided that Bible for her. When she got home on her doorstep, the ladies had bought a Bible and brought it to her from the church she was attending. We don't never know how these tests are going to change life or how they're going to help someone. But, and the Baptist women provided that for us. We just have no idea how these are going to help someone. Another one, the gun misfire. I'd like to tell you about Pedro Godfrey. He grew up in the country of Chile. Pedro was a drunk, a troublemaker. He was always in trouble. He finally got through high school. There weren't a whole lot for him to do there, so he joined the service there in Chile. While in service, his commanding officer called him in one day. He'd gotten married and had a family. And as time went on, his commander officer called him in one day and said, "Let Pedro, I tell you to go home and shoot yourself, but you ain't even worth the price of a bullet. Said, you're just worthless. You're not worth anything." So he listened to him, and he left. And while going home, he decided, said, "If I'm not worth anything," he'd never been told in his whole life that he was important or anyone loved him. And he got home, and he got thinking about it. He pulled his service revolver out. He was in the military. And most of you guys in the military, if you put that gun to your head and pull the trigger, if it's loaded, it's going to go off. God put his finger in there and stopped it. Petro got to thinking about it. He said, "I went in service. I got a little bitty book that they gave me when I entered the military." He got that little testament out and started reading that day. He turned to the back and saw the plan of salvation. He accepted Christ as his personal Savior. And Petro changed his life because of that little testament. God had a reason for Petro. It's like all of our lives. God has a reason for all of our lives. Today, Petro is a member of the Gideons in San Diego, Chile. He's passing out that little testament. He's witnessing to others to change their life, that God will help them. And he read for the first time that God loves them. If you don't know that, folks, I hope that you will before today's out, that you'll read the scripture and get someone to help you with that as a plan of salvation in the back of all our testaments. It changes life. This is not a salvation testimony, but I really liked it because when I was reading, if you get on the Gideon website, they've got testimonies, thousands of them that we get each week from where our testimonies have changed someone's life. And this happened in the Soviet Union. And this happened back in, they had a new building, a new hospital built there, 2,000 rooms there. It was in a highly Muslim, militant area. The Gideons talked about themselves, said, "Do we really want to go in this area? This is a rough area." Said, "Are we really going to go in there and distribute these scriptures?" So I had much prayer and thought, and they ordered the scriptures. Got the 2,000 New Testaments in. They went on that distribution that morning. As we all go, what do we do, guys? We pray, don't we? Before we go into that distribution, they stopped down the sidewalks of that hospital outside and started praying. Said, "God, your will be done. If we're supposed to, let us be safe and let this have a good distribution here and touch lives." Well, as time went on and they got through, they got outside and they stopped and praying to God for giving them safety and letting them be available to make this distribution. Distribution there in this part of town. While he was praying, they heard a thump. They turned and looked around. That little testament, one of them was out there on the ground. Someone had thrown it out of the window of the hospital. One of the Guineas started to go get it. This lady saw it. She said, "That's mine." She said, "I've been praying to Allah to give me a test or give me his word. I tell you, folks, she didn't get all his word. She got God's word. We don't know where it changed her life or not, but I feel sure it did. God had a reason for allowing her to be there and pick that testament up. God still has a sense of humor, folks. How much she's going to change, or he's going to change her life on account of that one testament. We never know how God is going to do things. There's so many testaments I could give you. It's just amazing how many testaments we have. And I thought about while thinking about which stories to use or which testaments. I don't like story because stories can be fictional or whatever. But these is eyewitness people that send in these testimonies to us. Been a number of years ago, he was of the Jewish descent, and his name's left me right now. But anyway, he's in Jefferson, North Carolina. It'll come to him in a minute. But he's still up there preaching God's word today. He grew up rough here in North Carolina. You don't think of, when you think of a Jewish person, that's a Jewish person here, please don't get upset with me. But he was taller than I am. He was about 6'6". He wore about a size 15 shoe. Elliot Osowitz, that's his name. I know he'd come to me. But I got to meet him. He gave his testimony at one of our pastor's banquets one year. He said, I was just a drunk, but I partied. He went in service. He come out. He got a job as a tour guide on a bus with a tour company. He continued to drink and his wildlife and all this. He got married. They had two or three kids. I believe it was three kids. His wife had done all the raising of the kids. He was gone on one of his chores one time right before Christmas. He come home on Christmas Eve. The locks was changed. He took his key. He couldn't get in his house. His wife had witnessed to him. His wife's pastor had witnessed to him. I don't need that. I ain't no part of that. Brother Elliot finally woke up that night. One of his daughters had been put in prison. His wife told him. He finally got her to the door and said, Elliot, I've had enough. I can't take any more. He left that night and went and got a motel room. He always carried a pistol with him. He went to that motel room to take his life. Brother Elliot said he walked in the room, sat down the nightstand. The first thing he saw when he walked in that motel room was one of these Bibles. It was wide open. There. I can just see him now. Taking that old big hand, and mine's pretty good size, but his is about twice, it seemed like, than mine. I could just see him knocking that off on the floor. He said he knocked that thing off on the floor. He said he knowed he's going to get rid of it. He said, but it stayed wide open when it fell on the floor. He said, good deal. He said, I'll still get rid of it. So he took that old 15 shoe. He's going to kick it under that bed. How many motels or rooms you've been in where you can kick anything up under that bed? It just ain't going to happen. He couldn't get rid of that Bible. He finally, at 2 o'clock on Christmas morning, he picked that Bible up and started reading that Bible. He called his wife's pastor at 2 o'clock in the morning. That pastor come over there and warned him to Christ that morning. He went home and told his wife, or the pastor called his wife, said, we need you over here. She went over to the motel, and they talked that night. Their marriage was restored. And he accepted Christ then as his personal Savior. He went on and was baptized at his Fellowship Baptist Church in Jefferson, North Carolina. When my granddaughter was playing ball, and we went by and found it, Dean and myself, they was coming out of their service when we got up. I think there's almost 300 people in his church today. He started that little storefront, as we call them a lot of times, church. He's got over 300 people there in Jefferson, North Carolina, going to that church. It's growing by leaps and bounds. Because you may have bought that. Your church may have bought that Bible that went in that motel. I can't tell you. But I can tell you this. It works. God's word works. And I think I've used one, Brother Hoyt Thorns. A lot of you know that. Some of you mentioned him this morning. Brother Hoyt was my buddy. I literally still miss him today. And all. He liked the story of the lawyer, Kerry Christie. I think I may have told you in a shorter version and all, but Kerry had never saw a Bible. Can you believe that here in America? She was 14 years old. Her mother was an atheist. I must go hit the highlights of it. But anyway, her story started almost 30 years before it concluded. Her mother was going out that night. She was at an art convention. She was an atheist. She did not believe. She would not let them have the Bible in the house or anything. Her father, the whole family was atheist. Anyway, as time went on, she went out to get supper. The mother did that night. As you know, your 14-year-old daughter don't want to be seen with mom at night out. So anyway, while she was gone, Christy was an avid reader. She started reading that book, the Bible. That's all she could find in that motel room to read. She started reading that night in the book of Genesis. She knew that she could not leave that motel the next morning without that copy of God's Word. She only got to read it about 20 minutes. But God touched her heart that night. So she knew she had to have it. Over the next 4 years in her room at home, she continued to read it. Well, she went off to college. She knew that she had to have that Bible or wanted to have it. But you mamas, are you going to let anybody, are you going to let your daughter going off to college pack anything in that suitcase? You don't know what it is. You go watch it, ain't you? You go see what's put in that suitcase. Christy asked God to give her someone to help her with her Christian walk of life. God provided, when she got to her dorm room, right across the hall, she said, I met a young lady that lived everything I'd read in that Bible over the last 4 years. God gave me the testimony I needed. She went on to law school. She got out of law school. She got a call, I think it was 2003, almost 30 years after that. She said, your mama is in bad shape in the hospital. Kerry went there and she started on her mama. She said, mama, you need to accept Christ. She told her, said, Christy, you know we don't think alike. She said, I'm sorry, we just don't think alike. As time went on, about 6 months later, her mama finally got able to go back home. Well, Kerry went home. And there at home, she said, mama, said, you know, said, you're in that Bible you don't like. But there's a story in there about a good Samaritan. Said, that's you, mama. Said, I wish I had my Bible so I could read it to you. Guess what Carrie's mama said? She said, there's a red Bible back there in that back bedroom. I don't know how in the world it got there, but it's back there. So she went and got her and read her the good Samaritan story. Said, mama, that's you. Said, you was always helping someone when there was a down and out. When they didn't have food or whatever, said, you fed them. Said, you let them spend the night. Said, you was always helping people. Her mama finally accepted Christ before she died. She had already won her father and all of her other families, but she had one brother. Well, before that, let me back up a little bit. Carrie's mama said, you've got to go thank the Gideons. You got to tell them you're sorry for stealing that Bible. And the Gideon said, you can have the Bible. We're proud it worked. We probably, and all that. They said, we would love for you to write your testimony down. I heard her give her testimony in person a few years back in Hickory, North Carolina. So she started giving her testimony. What a testimony she's got. There was not a dry eye. There was over 1,000 people in there, the pastors and all that night, when she gave her testimony. She asked the Gideons in North Carolina to start praying. As you know, we meet on Saturday morning. If you go to Hilltop at 7 o'clock on Saturday morning, a little bit before, you'd love to see us going into the room back there to pray and read Scripture. We started praying in the state of North Carolina. Several months after that, her brother and his two daughters accepted Christ. It was four generations of atheists changed on account of that one Bible. But you know, it's all right for her to steal that Bible. If you read Proverbs chapter 6, verse 30, men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. Carrie was hungry that night for God's word and God. She accepted Christ as a personal Savior on Canada. As Gideons, we're your missionary, extended arm of your church. Our goal is the same as yours, as a church, to reach people for Christ. That's our main goal, is to reach people for Christ. The way we got that slogan there, missionary extending arm of your church, Brother Hill, one of the founders of the Gideon organization, there was three guys traveling, sailing back then in a hotel. Anyway, he went to his pastor, said, we've got this, we want to place a Bible in all the hotel rooms in our town. Said, we go place them. He said, we need somebody to buy them, help us buy them. His pastor told him, said, if we buy them, will y'all furnish the labor to put them in the motel? It started back in 1908, and the Gideons have been placing them in hotels and motels. They've added all these others down through the time. That's where it started, in one church there. You might ask, how can we help? Of course, prayer is the one reason that we're in over 200 countries. We cannot do it without prayer. We print the Bible, like I said, in over 100 languages. Now, with the help of the New World, we got the little apps that they can download it and have it with them. Of course, it takes financial help, too. Each Bible like this that we place in hotels and motels costs us $5 purchase and distribution. That's not very much, is it? It has a potential in 6-year lifespan is what the average Bible lasts. We go twice a year and make sure how they look. A lot of time they spill, you'd be surprised what we find. If it's got writing in it, pages have been or whatever, we take that old Bible out and place a new one in there every 6 months or try to. It has a potential of reaching 2,300 souls. I can't tell you it's going to reach 2,300, but it has the potential of reaching 2,300. And less than 10%, each little Bible like this testament costs us $1.30. That's not very much. There's only 10% of our countries. That means only 20% or 20 of that 200 countries that we're in are self-supporting. If it was not for churches in America, just like y'all's church and others, we would not have the Scripture to give to a lot of these countries. And you might say, well, we're not in a lot of them. But we are in a couple. We're in Russia, as I told you earlier. We're also in China. We're sort of underground, but we're still in China. And we're passing God's Word out there in China. We never thought we'd see the day that we was in China, but we are in there now, been in there for several years. But it takes money to buy the Scripture. Also, when we're not here, we have the Gideon Card program. I think you've got a rack somewhere in the church here. I encourage you to use them. For $5, you can place a Scripture. The cards are free for your use. All you got to do is fill it out and give it to Brother Don. He's your treasurer here in the camp. And what a great way of saying that. I know I had a couple of, well, a friend of my daughter, they come down, her husband and her son come down to hunt there on the place, and they got back. And I give the card to Dean. I always give them to her. She likes to open cards, my wife. And she opened it up. She said, they've donated 5 Bibles in our honor for that. Well, I didn't want to go charge them nothing. But he sent 5 Bibles. You don't never know what that would do. I can't tell you what those 5 Bibles would do. But what a great way to express things there and all. As Union East camp that we're in, we placed over 2,600 scriptures last year. We placed a lot of scriptures here locally. We do a lot here locally. I know our time is getting close, but still, I'd like to tell you one little thing. We're starting a new thing. Our chaplain, our state chaplain, told us last week. They're going to the inner cities in Louisville, Kentucky. They've started a new program. We got what they call Friends of Gideon's now. Said, if you'll buy them, we'll help you knock on the doors. And they're getting a lot of black churches. They've got almost 100 black churches there in Louisville. Some of the Gideons from different states are going in, and they're knocking on doors. And someone there in that one of those black churches is buying for $2 from the Gideon. We can't have the Gideon them alone. But they're reaching people. They're fixing to start it in Charlotte. Before long. They're already in the meeting process, and I'm hoping I'll be invited to the next meeting and hopefully we can get it started there. We also need new members. Any organization don't get new members, we die out. It's a great organization. We need new members. Thank you, congregation, today for allowing me to share this report with you today and worship with you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
You know, I hope that you have that testimony similar to one of the ones that James was talking about. It might not be as drastic or as radical, but one where at one